Hey, Brenna.
Hi, Maureen.
Big news.
Huge news. I don't know what it is. What's happening?
Huge news. Guess what happened the other day?
You found another cat in a bush.
No, that would be on brand, but
oh, okay. Vincent... I thought that was a pretty good guess.
No, that was a good guess. Vincent, my little boy, my little Vinny, pooped in the new yard.
He pooped in the new yard. I mean, actually, now just, okay, and he already pooped in the house, so now he's pooped outside the house. That means the yard is christened, too.
Yes, because, I mean, one of our biggest problems here is that he doesn't see our yard as a potty place. We can hang out with him for hours in the yard, and then we take him on a walk, and he's like, oh my god, thank god, a tree. And it's like,
how do dogs?
We've been outside.
I suppose I don't really know as much about dog poop behavior, besides, like, you can train them. Because, like, my dad did train one of our dogs to poop in the woods so that he wouldn't have to constantly clean it up. But,
oh my gosh.
Like, is it the same? Because I know cats, like, you should... like, try not to put, like, obviously any of their food or water too close to it, because they're like, that's dirt. That is the dirt place,
yeah.
Guys. I mean, that's the same reason.
I mean,
if you guys didn't know this, not all cats think this way, but, like, try to keep water and food somewhat separate from cats, because they also see food as, like...
it could rot and taint my water.
Exactly. So, does he just, like... I'm trying to go into Vinny's mind and think, like, what's the logic there? Why he's like, this is my chill spot, and I don't want my chill spot to be smelly?
Maybe, or maybe, like, he just, like, you know, it's like when he's out, he's sniffing and he's peeing on things, like, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine.
It has the Barnes & Noble effect, but only the sidewalk.
Yeah, and it's like, maybe he sees it too much as part of the house. He
it's
knows
part
he's
of
not
respect,
supposed to go in the house.
Actually,
maybe, like, and it is a our rental has a small yard. It's very teeny tiny, so now he has this huge yard, and I saw him also pee on the fence. It was amazing.
Oh, that's good.
I was so proud.
I'm proud of him. You know who I'm not proud of? Both of my cats right now. I mean, so
yeah.
I am not in the closet right now. Sorry. As a gay woman, I should clarify.
Brenna. You're a month early.
Yeah, I usually record in my closet because I hope when I first moved in here, the acoustics in the room were not great. And I'm hoping now I have enough crap in here that it won't be as echoey because I'm kind of sick of sitting on a closet floor. Of course, I'll move back in there if this just sounds awful, but we're just trying this out. So if you hear my creaky fan or my creaky chair or our two cats who've decided that they're
it's WWE time
and it's so funny they do this they have like assigned times that they do this. They do it right before it's time to eat. Like they'll sleep all day and then right before it's time to eat they'll try to like scam me into feeding them early. And then when Kat gets home, they have to, like, get all their excitement out that she's home. And they do it now when my friend Mackenzie comes over and we do, like, a work-from-home hangout.
Oh, that's fun.
First, KK tries to scam her into giving him some of her potato chips if she has them. Because he just thinks potato chips should be his.
Yeah.
And then they kind of do, like, this play fight, this play acting. It's always very dramatic. And I'm like, okay, guys.
It's like, you're just showing off.
Yeah. They've also decided, and this is actually a great segue into our next topic. They also decided to reenact the Lion King up there because both of them went up on the shelf above my bed. Minnow went up there, and then KK followed and was like, what if I punch you up here? What would happen? And I'm like, stop, please. She already one time jumped this like 5 foot distance. All of her 8 or 9 pounds of self came off of that onto my stomach when I was dead asleep. And I did think I got punched. So I'm like, I don't need this happening again. But speaking of Lion King.
Yeah, the elephant in the room.
I think we should give some if you're a new listener and for some reason you've decided, oh, my cousin might be home because they're both waiting at the door. Go. Is she not home? Okay, well, Minnow's being banished because she stepped out. You are the Lion King queen.
I am the Lion King. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the king himself. Yeah. And we both were not... I mean, I wasn't a fan of the remake just because, wow, how can we remake something and make it worse? Like, take out all the... Like, I know they, like, they changed up some of the songs and maybe, like, added some of the Broadway songs,
no,
which is great.
No, they didn't... They added, like, a couple lines. Like, I could have talked along with that movie like I did The Lion King. Like, they did change things.
So, yeah,
up
how
enough.
Do we remake something? Take out all the, like, charm...
Emotion.
Character. Yeah. It's like the musical, it's really cool how they do those designs.
Amazing.
Beautiful how it's adapted to a different medium. They're like, what if we bring it to a slightly different medium, still animation, but 3D? And it's like, okay, you know, I think there are ways to do 3D animation well, even hyper realistic 3D animation.
Yes,
trying to make animals perform a Shakespeare play is maybe not it.
No, you know what? I've seen other... They could have done it. They didn't try hard enough.
Right.
They didn't try hard enough.
So, your thoughts on the new prequel?
All right. So, we've got Mufasa coming out. And my coworker told me about it and was like, what up? And I was like, oh, dang. So, of course, I went and I watched the trailers. And I have thoughts. One, the animation did it... They didn't look dead inside. These lions didn't look as dead inside. So it seems like maybe they're a little more expressive. So I'm cautiously optimistic there that they're a little more alive. So that's good. And I mean, I think the biggest thing here is that they're not trying to copy another movie.
Yeah.
Like if they were going to do Lion King 2 and just follow that beat for beat, that would have been bad, but they're making up a whole new story. So I think that's going to be much, much better because they're not trying to, you know, they're not trying to recreate something. They're creating something new.
My issue with all of the
remakes,
current Disney revivals where they're doing it in quote unquote live action. It's like,
yeah,
we already did this, like, post-Disney Renaissance, where, like, what if we did all of these direct-to-video sequels? And it's like, okay, yeah. But at least, like, some of those, like, even if they weren't good...
Lion King 2 slapped.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Lion King 2 is, like, kind of the exception. Mulan 2 sucked. Like,
oh, yeah, that was bad.
But, I mean, there was, like... But there were still, like, a couple songs. It was, like, cool to see, like, the side characters get into romances that were, like, fun and, like, not all the... And the character designs had some... Like, you saw girls of, like, different sizes.
It had their,
like,
moments.
Like, yeah, it had... And I would say that about all of the direct-to-video sequels. They all had their moments. Maybe not the Aladdin one that, like, whitewashed everyone. But, I think there's a potential... For some of these to do better, like, I would say, like, perhaps, like, you know.
I mean, if there had been, like, a tone shift.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to make it live action and gritty, kind of do it. But don't just play by play the first movie. Show me different things. Create
it's
something.
It's like, you guys can do, like, you've already done this with the original fairy tales. You've adapted them differently. Just do it slightly different. And they're like, we made Beauty and the Beast more feminist. It's like, I don't know why. Is it because it's Emma Watson? I mean, I guess it's like, I don't mind if you like these movies. They're not, like, the worst things ever, but they're just like,
it's just a little disappointing because you want to see new things.
Exactly.
And I want to see new creativity.
You have the money to take chances like that. And they're like, no. We did that with Treasure Planet and it didn't go well. It's like, yeah. And you've sabotaged, like, every single project that could have been something cool and interesting since. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so I know everybody's asking, well, is this going to be based off the Six New Adventures, which was... technically came after The Lion King, but really had a lot of focus on the past. And that was licensed. So that was not like, it's not canon.
I imagine those treated kind of like the Star Wars stuff that got uncanonized, but that was already confusing.
No, I mean, this already kind of has been. They did take Scar's name from those books. So Scar's original name, they took from those books. Mm-hmm. I do not think they took the parents' names. Or like anybody else's, or like any of the other storyline stuff. Well, that's good to
know that they at least like probably read them then.
Yes, that is, and that's, that really interests me.
I have some advice for you guys.
Advice. Yeah, right?
If you have, a sequel or a prequel that ties in closely to something else, maybe read the other book.
Yeah, and gosh, I think there's please, I'm begging you.
And I think Aarons could do that. Like, obviously, they did that in some capacity with some of the prequels, but they just get some really basic stuff wrong.
Oh, just you wait. We get some really good whoopsies. In conclusion, I am very interested to see what they do with this movie. So I'm much more excited for this one than I was the live-action Lion King. Because this is something new. So, like, people aren't, like, hampered. But, like, anyways, I'm kind of stoked. So we'll see how it goes. The problem is, though, I was watching the preview. And, you know, it's kind of doing, like, it's like a teaser trailer. And then all of a sudden it cuts to, like, a lion. And I'm supposed to know who the heck that is with these character designs. I'm like, that's just a lion. Am I supposed to know that's Mufasa? How am I supposed to know that's Mufasa?
Did he have red hair?
He just cut to his head dramatically. No, it's just a lion.
Oh, I did not watch the trailer, so that's really funny, actually.
It cuts, like, really dramatically to his
face. Did you guys know that this is about a lion? It's like, yeah, but which one?
It's like, oh, I guess that's supposed to be Mufasa. The 2D animators
figured out, like, how to, you know, differentiate lions without...
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? I don't think that this is going to be as good as the Disney Junior series, The Lion Guard, which slaps so hard. I highly recommend. It's very good. But, you know, the fact that it's just something, anything different, into it.
Yeah, and it's like, it's rather safe. So it's like, cool, Disney, you get what you want. Now just do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I would have rather have them, like, animate it, even if they did, like, I don't know, a more stylized 3D animation. I don't care. I just, like,
I mean, they've retired their 2D. They've closed down their 2D studio, so that's probably not going to happen.
That's so sad. But Sarabi better be in this one. I bet she's got to be in this one, right?
Yeah.
My girl, like, my queen. I hope so. So I mean, that's something to really look forward to.
Pride's, yeah, she's probably in it.
Yeah.
And I wonder how we're going to address that. Anyway,
anyways, are you ready for the last chapter of the site?
Sports Fest,
because I'm Emberheart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this is Warrior Cats.
What is that? I don't think I've ever been, like, so psyched for, like, a sport event. Actually, in my life. I've been in sports. I was in t-ball. I don't think that counts.
I played soccer as a wee child.
I mean, yeah, I did t-ball as, like, a little tiny gremlin, and then I did shot put and discus as a teen, but, like, I didn't do any.
I did shot put for my 8th grade field day.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But I think
it was 6th grade. Whatever.
So, but yeah, I've never been so excited for a sport event in my life. I am in, I know there won't be bleachers, but I'm in the bleachers. I have my popcorn.
And I really wish I could give you a bunch of this sports content, but I'm going to let you down.
No!
I'm sorry. We will get a little bit of it, but for the most part, bummer. Sorry.
I'm throwing my popcorn and packing up the bleachers I set up in this field in Great Britain. That's like what I'm visualizing. It's just me in like one of those giant bleachers, but like kind of like the smaller ones. I just have popcorn and, yeah. And the cats are like peeking out behind like a tree stump, and they're like, this is where we used to do it, right? Yeah, why is there two like here? And I'm like, go ThunderClan, and they're like looking at ThunderClan, they're like, oh, and I accidentally start a war.
Bummer. Well, what happened last time?
So last time, I say on my bleachers, as I mean my popcorn. So last time, oh Lord, what happened before the best moment of my life?
Remember, we brought somebody back from the dead.
We did. So our boy, one of our boys, J-Pa, was kind of like struggling with, not necessarily, like he's like, I love he was like, everyone hates me. He's naturally like good at everything. But he was doing the best he could with limited resources because everyone got green cough. And by everyone, I mean literally yeah. everyone and everyone except for River Clan. But we didn't find that out until our mentor came back with just so much catmint. But in the meantime, we lay next to a dying child, walked with her in heaven, which I feel like there's been like at least a couple of like Lifetime movies like this. Walked beside her in heaven, and we're like, "Hey, you should come with me." And she's like, "Whoa, wait! Oh my god, I'm dead!" And we're like, "Ah, pish posh, come on!" And she was like, "Should I die?" And we're like, "No." And then Spotted Leaf showed up, wasn't infuriating, was like, "Nah, you guys have a free pass this time. Don't." I guess we'll discuss, actually she didn't even like say we'll discuss this later, she just kind of like acknowledged that this was happening, probably because she was like, this can happen,
right, everybody's like, oh dang,
yeah, she's like, try not to reveal. I love how this book is making me like less Spotted Leaf like furious, just because she's like, huh, like just agog and aghast, and isn't doing like something, she isn't constantly like relating him to Firestar, so I think that's why she's just,
yeah,
J-Paw's really helping her become just like,
yeah,
a character by being so unbelievable. And so they got a pass back to the living world. poor Brightheart was like, oh my god, I thought you were dead too, like when she came back. But he was like, no, I'm good. And then our tiny little I suppose she's only a few months younger. It is, what was her name?
Poppy Paw? She's older.
She's a couple of months older, correct. Poppy Paw came back and was like, whoa, did I die? I think I died. He's like, no, shh, here's some catmint. So after that unbelievable turn of events, we go to a gathering with, I think we're in Lion Paw's POV.
No, I think we were with Holly Paw.
We were with Holly Paw, and things were a little tense. Things were pretty tense. Accusations, the same accusations were being thrown around, really, yeah. Like nothing new. It's the usual gathering. I was honestly, we were two steps away from Shadow Clan being like, and we declare war on Thunder Clan, and it would have been like, yeah, perfect full circle moment, when Miss Squirrel Flight's like, may I? Like, so polite, so respectful. Which, you know, a little out of character, but gotta love it. She knows. She knows how to do this.
Yeah, she knows.
She's a politician.
Yeah, she knows she can be diplomatic.
I would vote for her. Vote for Squirrel Flight.
I would too.
Excuse me, may I have the floor? And they were like, okay, yes, of course, my queen, we love you. Because everyone loves her.
Yeah, obviously.
And she's like, what if sports day? And then everyone's just like, what if sports day? And then it seemed like Black Star was like, I want to be angry. But then even Leopard Star in her olden age was like, ah, yeah, I want a sports day before I kick it.
What's day? I want to see some kids hit each other.
Yeah, so, like, it didn't even, like, Blackstar realized his, like, one ally or possible ally in this was, like, not listening anymore. So we went with a sports day, which it kind of reminds me, I realized the gatherings are just HOA meetings, but just, like, basically, if you could punch your neighbor.
Yeah.
And maybe get a pass if you kill them. Like, you're not supposed to. But, like, if it happens.
But, like, it happens. Like,
if you're
happens.
In their living room and you hit them with a chair a couple times, they're like, in front of your kids and your other neighbor. Sorry.
Whoops. Yeah, the bringing the child back to life thing was kind of overshadowed by sports day.
Yeah, and I think, like, maybe in the grand scheme of things, that the sports day won't matter in the future, and that's gonna hurt.
I know.
But I will say, it was cutely tied in. The reason why we're having this, the reason why Squirrel Flight, I noticed that we have the peak of a new issue, a new reoccurring thing that I like, actually, because it's not one of the, it isn't, you know, setting rocks, you know, which obviously can't be an issue anymore. But we do have this issue of this sort of push and pull between the old ways when we were all fighting and hated each other. And then, remember when we all almost died on that road trip? Which is, like, interesting.
Valid.
And it's like, it does come up because we have these like, groups of people, the Squirrel Flight generation that's like, wow, we had a real chance for peace then. And it's funny because that's like, it's been like, kids have been born. So like not even a full generation has passed. And that's already kind of been like thrown past the wayside. Cause like, I think we've already had in someone's POV, like I would never, I mean, actually in J-Paw's POV, like he's like, you're telling me I have to help other clans? No, let's spy on them. So I it's interesting that did not, we really, it's just interesting how that is still coming up, even though it has been greatly dismissed, mostly.
Yeah, it's like everybody kind of wants to get back to the old ways, but they've also had this shared trauma of losing their home and making this great journey. So
I think sports day is probably the only way we can resolve that.
Obviously. Are you ready? Are you ready to get ready for sports day?
Like their anniversary of when they made the first big journey?
Kind of. They did make that journey in the winter, I believe.
They said it's their second new leaf here.
Yeah. And so I think they got here in the winter. And then winter trip. So it's been just a little over a year.
Yeah, that so it's been a bit here. Of a spring solstice because no one's, like, we're not as starving anymore.
Yeah. Which is also nice. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
The whole clan had been busy since dawn preparing for the daylight gathering.
Where are we hosting?
J-Paw. Huh?
Where's it hosted at? I forgot.
Remember Firestar offered some territory down by the lake.
Oh, nice.
J-Paw is back at camp with Dock Leaves. And he thinks irritably that they're just going to spend the day hunting and fighting. Why are they acting like it's something special? They get to do that anyway. He's like, y'all aren't doing anything different today. Calm down.
It'd be cool if you let me do it.
Firestar is checking with Squirrel Flight on the preparations when he calls to J-Paw and catches up to him. He tells him that Leafpool will need his help today in case of any accidents. Firestar is afraid he won't be able to join any of the contests. The whole clan had been tiptoeing around J-Paw since the daylight gathering had been announced. They were too scared to say out loud what they had all been thinking. He would be useless in any apprentice contests.
False. Incorrect. But
incorrect. J-Paw noticed right away that his name was never mentioned when Katz talked about which apprentices would win. So J-Paw doesn't reply to Firestar, just scrapes angrily through the brambles into the medicine den.
J-Paw. And I'm putting my hand on his shoulder for this. J-Paw. I have never asked you to use your sneaking out power before now. I am now asking you to push your sister over in the potato sack race and beat them all, J-Paw. She'll understand. Don't push anyone else.
Beat like, they won't be them all.
But actually, maybe push your brother. Because actually, I think Holly Pop will hold it against you.
Yeah, she has a little bit more to prove since she started her training late.
And also, she just like has that. She's, you know, she's like your mom and your grandma. She would punch you. She'd still forgive you, but she will punch you. So, yes.
Leafpool is waiting.
I need you to prove him wrong, dude. Like, this is the one time I'm 100%, like, go for it, king.
Leafpool is waiting for him. J-Paw doesn't see why they need to be responsible for all the other clans. If their apprentices want to show off on ThunderClan territory, their own medicine cat should be looking after them.
That's a good point.
Leafpool reminds him that all the medicine cats will be working together to make sure every cat is properly cared for.
Oh, I didn't know that information. J-Paw, why are you lying?
J-Paw mutters that he bets Willowpaw and Kestrelpaw haven't spent the morning looking for herbs. Even they will have been practicing their hunting skills for the contests.
Why would
we don't get confirmation of this, but probably not.
Yeah, I'm like, they probably are actually, you know, preparing the same as... I understand why he's bitter.
Yes, yes.
Once again, he has a reason. He is a very valid reason.
He has the reason, he has the right.
I think, honestly, him expressing that right now is fine because it's not like he's lashing out at someone who doesn't deserve it.
Well, he senses Leafpool's frustrations in her quick movements, but her voice is calm. She knows how much J-Paw wants to take part, but she needs him to help her. J-Paw's simmering fury boils over. "Don't lie," he says. He's not allowed to take part because there's no way he can compete against real apprentices. Firestar doesn't want him embarrassing the clan.
She's standing over, like, five piles of unsorted herbs, like, I know you can smell these.
Leafpool, shocked, says he knows that isn't true. Then why won't he let J-Paw try one of the contests? Leafpool says maybe if J-Paw had more battle training or hunting experience, he would. And Leafpool is working, J-Paw can sense that she's working very hard to keep her temper. But he started his medicine training late, and the outbreak of green cough stopped them from working on his other skills. So hers is like, yeah, I haven't had time to really teach you that because, like, we had a big illness breakout.
Yeah.
J-Paw doesn't reply. Hollypaw had been training as a medicine cat for a blink of an eye, and she'd had battle training from Leafpool. He wonders if his mentor had decided it would be a waste of time to teach him any warrior skills at all. But also, like...
She literally just stated, you started your training late.
Yeah. And we had an outbreak. But also, like... Hollypaw wasn't doing so great in other areas, so...
Yeah, I mean, I...
Different teaching methods for different children.
Yeah. I think it's...
Leafpool.
It's fine. It's fine. He has a reason right now to be kind of testy, and I'm not gonna...
Leafpool changes the subject. Squirrelflight must be getting tired. Could he take her some herbs? J-Paw goes to mix the herbs, then listens for his mother's voice. She's beneath the high ledge talking to Brambleclaw. He tells her that Leafpool wants her to eat this. That's kind of her, Squirrelflight says as she sniffs the herbs. Did J-Paw mix these himself? They smell sweeter than usual. J-Paw mumbles that he added some heather nectar to help with the taste.
I love my mommy.
Squirrelflight thanks him with a brisk lick between the ears. Also, that's a smart idea, dude. Yeah, that was very thoughtful. And he mutters that it was nothing and turns away before his mom can do anything else embarrassing. But he can't ignore the glimmer of happiness that flicks in his chest.
You love your mom.
I love my mom. Paw steps drum in the entrance. Hollypaw and Lionpaw burst into camp to announce the arrival of the other clans. WindClan is heading down towards the lake. Ice Kit and Fox Kit are scampering around in excitement. They want to go. Ferncloud tells them they'll have fun here in camp. Ice Kit wails that it isn't fair. Life isn't fair, J-Paw growls as he headed back to the medicine den.
That's wrong. That's why
he's going to be stuck in camp like a kit.
Also, it seems weird that not everyone would go.
Well, they want to keep the children in.
Yeah, out of the way. And also, it's probably also... Yeah. This is our first time doing this. And, like, the moon is full. But, like, do we trust these folks? No.
And not every cat goes to gatherings, too, you know. They leave cats behind. And, I mean, just because... Even if the other clans don't attack, doesn't mean they're safe from everything else. Remember all of the badgers? Fair. Just in case. The hunting patrols return laden with prey, and a yowl rings through the forest above the hollow. That's Leopard Star, Lionpaw says. River Clan has arrived. Hollypaw says it must be time to go. The gathering begins at sunhigh. Hollypaw will be taking part in one of the first contests, a match to see which apprentice had the best fighting skills. And at the same time, Lionpaw would be set against a WindClan apprentice in a hunting contest. Jealousy sears J-Paw's fur. Firestar bounds into the clearing while J-Paw retreated to the medicine den. But he can't block out the drumming of paws as ThunderClan raced away through the thorn tunnel. An eerie silence grips the camp. J-Paw helps Leafpool prepare poultices and the kids charge around the clearing.
You can just take over your sibling's body.
Oh, no, we can't.
We don't know. Or has he tried?
I guess. Have you tried?
I mean, he's only done it on a near-dead person. It probably...
Well, he more just went into her mind with her. He didn't control her body.
So...
He just went to Star Clan with her. So the kits are charging around the clearing, and Ferncloud is telling them they need to each bring her a beetle, a fly, and some moss. So Ferncloud's setting up their own contest for them.
I love that. I literally, no joke, when I used to babysit my two neighbor kids across the street. It's crazy because they're both adults now and like both so much taller.
Oh gosh, right?
And it's like you guys used to be several feet shorter than me. And they would love when I made up games, and like sometimes I just like didn't have the energy because I was a teenager. But
yeah,
I'd be like, all right, you guys gotta find me four blue things. Go. It works.
It works.
Especially if you take them like outside and like they're like, oh, what? Blue.
Oh. Well, the kits' mews echo around the deserted camp, and J-Paw is aware of the emptiness, like hunger in his belly. Is J-Paw always going to be left behind? Leafpool says that's enough for now. There's enough here for scratches on every cat in all four clans. Leafpool says she should be at the gathering in case there are any injuries. Besides, she wants to watch Hollypaw fight. Why doesn't J-Paw join her? J-Paw shakes his head. There's no way he's going if he isn't allowed to take part.
No, boo. Dude, really?
Go watch your siblings.
I mean, I understand. Very well. It's like, it's kind of like...
Yeah.
The principle of the thing, but it's like, sometimes you can be sad for good reason, but sometimes you're just like, you're kind of like just, you gotta kind of, you know, kick your own butt and get out there, buddy.
Very well, Leafpool says and leaves quietly. Left alone, J-Paw feels lost. He hears the excited cries of warriors and apprentices drift through the trees, and he wants to wail that it's not fair. But he won't behave like a kit, no matter how much he's treated like one. Instead, he begins to tidy up the herbs. Suddenly, a strange sensation pricks J-Paw's tail. It crawls along his spine and sets his pelt tingling. Images flood his mind and swell behind his eyes.
Whoa.
J-Paw is buried, unable to breathe. He chokes on dry earth. It stinks like fox and badger. Where is the fox? Where's the badger? And he expects to feel teeth ripping into him at any moment. All he sees is earth crumbling around him. Light flickers above, but dims as more soil tumbles down. The dirt stings his eyes and fills his ears and nostrils. He's drowning in it. J-Paw tries to scream for help, but dirt fills his mouth. He scrabbles desperately to fight his way out.
Is some kid gonna fall into, like, a badger hole?
Was Starclan so disappointed in him, they've ordered the Earth to swallow him up?
Bro, no, this is a vision, but also, I don't think he's had a vision, like, of the traditional sense yet. No.
No, he has mostly just had dreams.
That's fair. So, like, it is, I imagine, I like this. I'm glad we're back to kind of, like, a little bit which happened in, I wonder, okay. I'm not going to take back my critique. Because I don't like her. But.
Okay.
This does remind me of kind of how the vision was that we saw secondhand that Spotted Leaf had in front of Firestar when he was little.
Yeah.
And that seemed like really out of nowhere, really jarring, and kind of like it took her out of it. This almost seems similar to that kind of vision.
Yeah.
Which, if their powers were similar, because it also seems in some cases, even though, like, she's dead, so we don't really know because how does Starclan even work?
Yeah.
Perhaps if Spotted Leaf had a chance, her powers might have been similar to J-Paw's. And that would be why she's kind of like his undead mentor. But I'm not going to give credit.
No, she had Spotted Leaf had a strong connection with Starclan, but she doesn't have the type of, like, extra powers that J-Paw seems to have.
I know. It was a thought.
It would have been cool.
It's like every time I come up with something about Miss Spotted Leaf, I'm like, wow, that would have been great.
Would have been cool.
Aaron, you can steal this. You can fix her character. I know it's like we're probably series away from her now. Like, just republish the books.
J-Paw,
no one will hold it against you except for Spotted Leaf fans of how she is right now.
J-Paw scrabbles desperately at the earth as his lungs scream for air. He can see his paws churning in front of his muzzle. But they're not his own. They're pale and wide, fur thick and bunched at the claws. He's seeing through Lion Paw's eyes.
No! Lion Paw's being buried alive!
J-Paw drives the images from his head. He knows he's in the medicine den. He's surrounded by the scent of leaves. The hollow outside is empty and silent.
Starclan was really banking on him going to this event. They're like, okay, he's not going. I guess we gotta scare her. Scare him! We were just gonna put like a dead mouse in front of you to give you this message. But I guess we just have to directly beam this into your brain. We can't do this in a nice way. They've not been nice any way with him, so.
No. Where was Lion Paw right now? The hunting contest. He should be scouring the Shadow Clan border for prey. Quick as lightning, J-Paw shoots out of the medicine den into the forest. Every sense is alive as he wound through the undergrowth like a snake. He has to get to Lion Paw before this thing, whatever it was, happened.
I love that.
So it hasn't happened yet. Or at least J-Paw doesn't think it has. Huh?
We do not mess around when it comes to our siblings.
No, we don't. But before we find out what happens, would you like a little sports day treat?
A what?
We're gonna do a very rare mid chapter POV change.
Oh, crazy!
So Holly Paw watches as Lion Paw and Breeze Paw scampered up the slopes and into the trees to hunt. Lion Paw's fur is spiked with excitement. Good luck, Holly Paw thinks to her brother. One Star calls to Holly Paw. Is she ready? Holly Paw spins around to find Heather Paw already waiting. She's circled by warriors and apprentices. her shoulders squared, ready for the match. "Come on, Hollypaw," Brambleclaw urges her, and he stands next to Brackenfur, his eyes shining. Hollypaw hears the excited murmurings of the other cats. She's nervous, but she's not going to show it. She crouches opposite of Heatherpaw and narrows her eyes. So we've come to the gathering, and we've got our battle contest.
I like that we're kind of preserving the mystery by like not like I know as a reader I'd be like, come on, I need to be in his POV, I need to be in Lionpaw's POV. So, you know, credit where credit's due. Good job, Aaron. Yeah. That's I like the upping of the tension.
"Keep their claws sheathed," One Star orders. And Heatherpaw is small, but she also has 2 moons of experience on Hollypaw, and she knows that her sleek pelt hides hard muscle. So she's not going to underestimate her. "Begin," One Star calls. Heatherpaw leaps and crashes into Hollypaw. She grabs Hollypaw by the scruff. Not hard enough to break skin, but firmly enough that Hollypaw freezes in alarm. She can't be beaten this easily. Heatherpaw had caught her like a rabbit. Thinking quickly, Hollypaw tucks her head and kicks out with her hind legs. She somersaults forward, taking Heatherpaw with her, and Hollypaw sends her sprawling onto her back. Free, Hollypaw leaps, but Heatherpaw rolls out of her reach. She lands on bare grass, and Heatherpaw darts to her. Energy flowing through her, Hollypaw leaps high into the air. Heatherpaw skids wildly beneath her, and Hollypaw crashes onto the confused WindClan apprentice's back. She wraps her paws around Heatherpaw and begins to pummel her with her hind paws.
Oh my god. I know it's like deadly, but you think about your own cats.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know exactly the move she's using. Heatherpaw wriggles free and rears up to face Hollypaw with flailing paws. And Hollypaw rises to meet her, and they battle like dancing hares. "Finish her, Heatherpaw," Crowfeather calls. "Knock her off her paws," Brackenfur yowls. What does he think she's trying to do? Hollypaw's muzzle is beginning to sting. Heatherpaw's blows are strong and well-aimed. Hollypaw doesn't want this to last much longer. She takes a deep breath and ducks beneath Heatherpaw's hind legs, and she's left flapping her paws in the air as she's unbalanced. Hollypaw twists and, careful not to draw blood, sinks her teeth into Heatherpaw's scruff. Hollypaw presses Heatherpaw's chin into the ground. Heatherpaw lets out an angry wail, struggling furiously, but Hollypaw dug her claws into the ground on either side of her head. Heatherpaw can't get free. One Star announces that it's over. Hollypaw is the winner. ThunderClan cats cheer. Again? Huh?
Who was the mentor?
Who's mentor? Hollypaw or Heatherpaw?
Heatherpaw. I know who Hollypaw's is.
Crowfeather.
Oh, right. Okay.
ThunderClan cats cheer and Hollypaw lets go. Heatherpaw jumps up. Well done, she pants. That was a great move at the end. Hollypaw thanks her. She fought well, too. Good work, Hollypaw, Brambleclaw says, rushing over to sweep his tail over his daughter's flank. She wouldn't have beaten me so easily, a voice hisses. Heatherpaw narrows her eyes at Ivypaw, a ShadowClan apprentice.
Oh, just kidding. I thought it was going to be Crowpaw's right? kid. he keeps saying all the mean stuff, so...
No, he's out with Lionpaw hunting.
You say that as if I have a roster. Fair. I wish I had one.
Hollypaw spun around. Want to bet on that? A paw cuffs her ear. One win is enough, Brackenfur says, staring at her proudly.
Love him.
Hollypaw sees a distinctive gray shape flash across the top of the slope.
Is that my brother?
Jaypaw. He just missed her winning the contest.
Wait.
But her brother doesn't seem to hear. He pelts away into the trees towards ShadowClan territory. what in the name of Star Clan was he up to now? And before we find out, you want to hit me with a cat fact?
Yes, of course. I love how we just know that he's up to something. Like,
yeah, Holly Paul's like, hey, that's my brother. Goodbye.
I think we should follow him because I, God knows, he knows something. All right, yeah, I would love to share a cat fact. Since we're having a sports day, it seems appropriate that we're still doing sports cats facts. I mean, I started this before I even knew this would happen, and it's just, like, awesome. I'm loving this. I'm loving this.
Amazing.
It's kismet, as they say.
Yes.
So, and I'll say, like, what originally drew me into this topic of sports cats?
Sports cats!
What was the compilations of cats just, like, being on fields? Like, it's like the mystery, how did they get there, the fear, did they get out, the hope, did they get a new home or get returned home? Yeah, it's just all you want.
The joy. Like
it's all the drama and the stuff you want from, I'm assuming a normal person would get, not a normal person, I guess a different person from me would get, like, watching a sport.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, a cat running onto the field would be my favorite thing about any sport.
Exactly. And like these compilations, I was like, I could just, like, talk about this all day, but I wanted to break it up without, you know, don't want to be too monotonous. But this is a weirdly deep well of incidents. like it historically has happened maybe like a lot, but it makes sense how kind of cats are. They just like to be places.
Yeah.
And
you can't stop them, that's for sure.
Exactly. And of all sports fields and arenas, today's incident happens on probably what I would consider the most unexpected of all of them. But it does have a happy ending. Any guesses, Maureen, on what a sport a cat interrupted with its incursion?
Okay, if you're thinking about most...
Like, most likely, a cat's on the field, it's the least likely.
I would say least likely would be water polo, but taking a couple steps maybe towards a little more likely, I'm going to say basketball, because it's indoors.
Water polo is really hilarious and actually probably closer than basketball, because we're on a hockey rink.
Oh my goodness.
Now, before a game in May 2016 between the San Jose Sharks and Nashville Predators, so like I said, it's before the game, so there were some players on the ice, hitting some pucks, but there was no chaotic ice capades happening quite yet, since hockey is fairly violent, and last place I think you want a gentle little kitty by.
I was gonna say those skates will slice its toes right off.
Yeah,
yikes!
Terrifying to think about. But
also his peats would be so cold. Oh, I know,
and I do have a video here of this tiny black cat, sneaking. It sneakily hops down from one side of the players' benches and skitters across the ice very, very quickly. So,
oh. Why is he so small? I love him. Oh. Oh no, he's slipping.
Yeah.
He actually does pretty good.
Fairly well. You wouldn't expect it.
Okay, I'm glad he made it in safely without incident.
Yeah, at the end of the video, like throughout the whole thing, like, the poor thing, like, jumps down from a player's bench. It's kind of funny because there's, like, a guy, like, putting, like, hockey sticks and stuff away. He does not see this thing at all. It goes, and you can tell it's, like, as soon as it's on the ice, it's like, I want to not be here. It, like, hugs the wall and is, like, looking up, like, it's too high for me to jump.
How do I get out?
Exactly. Until finally it gets to, like, an exit where it looks like the, like, a walkway exit or, like, maybe where they bring in the Zamboni. And there's just, like, a staff person who does, like, a double take as this cat rounds the corner and escapes. And it seems no one else noticed except maybe the camera person and this one staff member. And thankfully, while the cat did not disrupt the game because it hadn't even started, the San Jose Sharks, as soon as, like, the staff was, like, alert that, okay, there's a cat and it got on the rink, the game went on, But they were on the case. The cat was recovered a little bit after the game. It was hiding beneath some bleachers. Absolutely petrified, but was recovered.
Yeah.
Safe and sound. The cat was handed over to the sharks, who contacted their local humane center for assistance. A vet checked the cat over, finding it was actually a little girl. And the reason she's so bitty baby is because she was only 2 to 3 months old.
Oh, she was a bitty baby.
She is a bitty baby. It's not just the video. She's super tiny. And she was, I think, less than 2 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but thankfully, like, didn't seem to have, like, any injuries. Like, her feet were okay. It wasn't like she was hanging out on the ice. Like, I think as soon as she touched it, she's like, I'm out.
Same.
Yeah. And the players had already nicknamed her Joe Pavelski. Pavelski. Which was pretty much the name of a player who was on the team at the time. And when they found out it was a girl, they just dropped the O at the end of Joe and made it still Joe, but, you know, a little more girly. Yeah. A little more gender neutral,
if that matters to you.
Yeah, so the team thought it was possible that the cat snuck in through the loading dock. But as they stated, quote, obviously prohibit anyone from bringing a live or dead animal into the arena, unquote.
Please.
So they weren't really sure how this cat got in, but, you know, they handed her over to the Humane Center. Like, they found her right away. And the Humane Center, the Humane Society, the team did appreciate the cat's visit. After all, she brought them good luck, unlike, you know, the incorrect rumor against black cats. They actually won the game after she crossed their paths.
Oh!
So much so that the Predators, after losing, like, had their mascot, which was, like, a cat, crawl on the ice similar to the cat to see if it would bring them, like, some good luck, you know, into their game at their arena. And some fans of the San Jose Sharks actually started wearing cat ears for a little bit afterwards, trying to hope bring that feline positivity. And the Humane Society held on to the kitten. She was fairly shy. And they actually gave her a room on her own at first because she just obviously was probably really overwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm overwhelmed when I go to a hockey game.
Going to hold on to her just until they figured out she was microchipped, and, like, after they checked, like, lost and found to see if she had an owner.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they did not find anyone, so they did put her up for adoption. And at one point, because they did set up a little, like, shark-themed, like, room for her, at one point there was, like, a live stream camera, and she had two other cats move in with her to, you know, kind of socialize her. She had some, you know, roommates that she seemed to get along with very well. That stuff is no longer accessible, but I did, like, find record of it on the NHL website, but the video cam doesn't seem to exist anymore, most likely because Miss Joe got adopted, and I hope that wherever she ended up, it is warm and ice-free, so.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the story of Joe, who the San Jose Sharks thought was the luckiest cat in the world.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad I hope her peats are forever warm.
Yeah. And I hope that, yeah, the video is probably best case scenario of a cat getting onto an ice rink. Like, it's just this cat being like, I'm on the ice. I want to be off this ice. And she doesn't really fall at all. So she just, like, kind of very expeditiously gets off the ice. And I laugh because at the start of the video, the contrast is so funny of the guy just, like, digging through a bag, like, not noticing this cat, like, jump in front of him onto the ice. And then the dude at the end who does, like, a straight up double take as it watches this cat round the corner. Like,
but kudos to the cameraman who did see
the camera. It definitely seems like the cameraman is zooming in and watching this cat go and be like, yeah, whoa.
Thank goodness.
And I will say, if you look at the articles listed, the team was very, like, they handled it really well. Like, as soon as they found out, everyone involved at the staff in the stadium were like, oh my God, okay, we have to get this cat found. We have to get this cat somewhere else. Like, so.
Yeah, to the Humane Society. Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah, good. So, and I think it also brought some, like, I think at one point they're like, it brought some, like, positive news to black cats because, you know, they are a bit, it's a bit hard for them to get it adopted for, you know, all of the reasons we've explored before where it's just, unfortunately, they are not treated as fairly due to the myths about them. So, love you, Joe. Thanks for helping those hockey people do well at that game, I guess. And
yeah,
I'm glad that everything ended up well for her.
Me too. Well, should we see if everything ends well for everyone else?
I hope so.
J-Pod dashes along the slope towards the Shadow Clan border. He remembers the scent of fox and badger from his vision. There is an old badger set near the border, dug out of a fox den.
Oh.
His mother had described it to him. Squirrelflight had helped chase a badger from it long ago, soon after they had arrived at the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. J-Pod digs his claws in and pushes faster. Fresh scents roll off the lake, but he focuses on the smell of badger. His instincts and senses aren't enough to guide him quickly enough through this strange territory. He skids to a halt and sniffs desperately and feels his way with his whiskers. StarClan, let him see now, please. He has to find Lionpaw.
We're weird about that. I don't know why we did that. It's actually kind of messed up.
Suddenly, he tastes the rank scent of badger. He gazes around blindly. Where's Lionpaw? He hears paw steps.
Did they say quote-unquote blindly in the book?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aaron's. He's blind. We
just
know.
Just in case you forgot. Maybe it's so they remember? Because sometimes they forget things.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope, like, the one defining trait that you wrote in, like, you wrote this character with this disability, so please try to represent it, at least, like, correctly in that way.
He hears paw steps speeding ahead of him. He smells lion paw, then breeze paw, then squirrel. Their excitement stings his
pelt. You're going to fall down in a hole. What? And he falls.
With a jolt of horror, J-Paw realizes that they're chasing the squirrel straight towards the badger stench. The place where the ground isn't safe. Where the earth will swallow them up. No! J-Paw's wail rings through the trees.
Wouldn't it be so crazy if this badger is midnight?
No, it's just an old badger set. No actual badgers.
We're just going to fall into a big hole.
Yeah. He pelts forward, breathless with fear. Then shock pierces him as he skids to a halt. There's no sound of paw steps. Only the squirrel's claws skittering up the tree. The forest is deadly silent. That squirrel just had the best day of his life.
Probably that squirrel has the same luck as Joe.
Yeah.
Got out of a terrifying situation. Lionpaw. Relatively unscathed.
Lionpaw. J-Paw shoots forward. He stumbles as the earth turns to rocks beneath his paws. The sun is suddenly hot at his back. The clearing is surrounded by trees, and boulders rear up before him. His fur stands on end as muffled mews sound from above.
Did the other cat
help
fall in too?
Yes.
It's funny because it's also his territory. You think he would?
No, it's not. It's Wind Clan. They're on the Shadow Clan border.
Oh, but isn't he competing as a Shadow Clan cat?
No, it's Lion Paw and Breeze Paw, Wind Clan.
Oh, so this is his territory. It's Breeze Paw's territory. And he fell into the hole anyway.
No, it's Lionpaw's territory.
Oh,
we're
on
the ThunderClan ShadowClan border. Yes, but we're by the ShadowClan border.
I got a little mixed up there.
Help! Starclan, save me! J-Paw clambers up the rocks. Where had they fallen in? Was he anywhere near them? He begins to slide forward. What if he falls in too? The vision plays in his mind again. He digs in his claws and slithers slowly downwards.
Great, now we're all J-Paw's stuck in a hole.
J-Paw's front paws touch sand and begin to sink. He springs back, clinging to the rock.
Quicksand!
The sand moves. Quicksand.
What? No, but,
yeah. No, it's not actual. It was an old badger set. So, like,
I don't know. I don't know how badgers live. I thought I was really excited.
It's gonna be. It's like a burrow. It's like a burrow.
That is full that of they fell into. Now.
I mean, it's basically quicksand. Now it's eating them. The sand moves, but it quivers beneath him as if something squirmed. They're down there. Gripping the stone hard with his hind claws, J-Paw digs. He scoops out the earth as fast as he can. Help! He wails, hoping some cat will hear. Over here! He slides forward, forepaws sinking into the sand. StarClan, help me! J-Paw rears back. He can't give up. Even though his muscles scream with the effort, he keeps digging. Soil presses up to his chest and chin, and terror grips his whole body.
Terror's gripping my body. This is scary.
Suddenly, his paws brush fur.
It's like brain engulfment, another one of my fears.
It's the worst. J-Paw hooks his claws in and heaves with all his strength. The fur wriggles and fights in his grip, struggling to push upwards. J-Paw drags the body out of the soil. Spluttering and gasping, Lionpaw slithers from the soft earth and collapses on the rock.
There is a
J-Paw plunges. J-Paw plunges his paws back into the soil. Breeze Paw is still down there.
Oh, thank God! Okay,
yeah, I'm glad. No, he went back.
He's like, I'm a doctor.
What's going on? Crowfeather's shocked cry sounds behind him. Without stopping, J-Paw screeches. The den collapsed. Lionpaw and Breezepaw fell in.
Ah, crap, my Crowfeather kid. Is at my his terrible, son. Terrible kid.
My terrible son. Crowfeather is at his side in an instant, sending the soil flying in his desperation to save his
That's
son.
That's not fair. I don't know if he's terrible. All I've had is what the Urns have very heavily suggested is that he's terrible.
He's a little brat. I mean, J-Paw can be a little brat, too, sometimes.
Yeah, I know him, and I know his reasons for being a brat. I imagine that Breezepaw's reasons for being a brat is because his parents are in a loveless marriage. So I think I should give him the same courtesy.
Heatherpaw and Nightcloud appear. Breezepaw? Nightcloud's horrified gasp sounds as she presses in beside J-Paw. Oh, my precious kit. J-Paw feels movement beneath his claws.
I hate hearing mothers in distress.
He can feel him. Crowfeather burrows his paws towards J-Paw's and lunges down. He growls with the effort of heaving his son from the suffocating earth. Soil stings J-Paw's eyes as Breezepaw's body is dragged free. He listens closely to the Wind Clan apprentice's breathing. It has stopped.
Jeez! Don't come on, errands!
Fetch Leafpool, J-Paw shrieks. I'm here. Leafpool's voice comes as a rush of warm air into J-Paw's ears. Can she save them? J-Paw begs. He came here as fast as he could, but... Lionpaw is breathing, Leafpool tells him. She cleared the soil from his throat. J-Paw feels Breezepaw stir and thinks he's recovered. But he realizes that it's Leafpool wrenching his jaws open. Leafpool tells J-Paw that his paws are the smallest. Reach into his mouth and clear as much dirt as he can.
Cool, I'm glad you're here. Shove your hand down this kid's throat. Stat!
He reaches, J-Paw sheaths his claws and forces himself to stop trembling. He reaches delicately into Breezepaw's mouth.
That's a big ass.
He hears Crowfeather's.
I don't.
He hears Crowfeather's heart pounding, and Nightcloud is quivering in terror behind him. Leafpool's concentration is the only calmness around him, and Japaw clings to it as he scooped the earth from the back of Breezepaw's throat. Breezepaw coughs and his body writhes as he spits up earth from his stomach and lungs.
I was joking about Grey Goldsmith, but that is what happened here. I mean, we didn't really have time for the crushing of everything, I hope. But
yeah.
Buried Alive is
terrifying.
Okay, let's move on. Keep going.
Will he be all right? Nightcloud whispers. Yes, he will, Leafpool promises. Thank
this
you,
This is weird.
Leafpool.
This is weird. I just want to point Crow out.
Crowfeather murmurs.
This is...
Yeah, let it get weirder. I would give my last drop of blood to save your kit, Leafpool meows softly to Crowfeather. He knows that. And Japaw flinches at the tension between them.
Our Leafpool, kit
was
please!
Lucky that Japaw was here.
Leafpool! Have you been... I know you've been having meetings with Spotted Leaf.
Our kit was lucky that Japaw was here. Nightcloud's comment is edged with sharpness.
I don't... Let's be real. That's fair. That's...
Yeah, 100%.
That's fair, because I'm guessing... I mean, I
that
love
was a
my
very
head
public
cannon.
Affair.
Huh?
Oh, it was a very public affair.
Yeah, it was a very public affair. I mean, I like my headcanon that, this was, a marriage of convenience for her, and it was just, But, also, I just realized, I know this is, the craziest time to do this, but there is a photo of Joe. I forgot to show you. That's her wrapped in a
shark so cute.
Blanket.
Like a little holly paw.
Yeah. wow. I pointed out, whoa, this is crazy awkward. A second before, they were watch this. And just,
yeah.
Summer's, I feel right now, J-Paw's, brain sensor of, everyone's emotions is, going haywire. They're going to permanently break it. Because the
layers...
Yeah,
they're gonna break his little brain.
The tension, he feels like he was just crushed by a mountain of earth.
Yeah.
And he already felt that sensation, but now it's hey, aunt, did you sleep with this woman's husband? Because I'm getting the vibe, which is so crazy, because I'm, 14. 17, I guess.
No, closer. I mean, they've only been training for less than a moon, maybe. It's been, maybe two, maybe a couple.
Anyway,
moons,
so I'm 14, and the emotions I felt have been my dad fearing Whack. Someone wants him dead. That one was kind of crazy. And then now this, where I'm getting the craziest vibe that this woman knows that you slept with her husband.
I also felt a ghost that having hots for my grandpa, but this is actually weirder.
Yeah, it's weirder because I mean, everyone here is alive, so it's more awkward. That's you can kind of ignore it because what she's dead.
Well, she's dead.
What is she gonna do? Go inside people's bodies or minds?
Japaw? Lionpaw croaks. Japaw spun around and crouched beside his brother. That was close, even for you, he tells Lionpaw.
I wasn't actually worried about Lionpaw because I didn't realize he was unconscious too at first.
Well, he did come out coughing.
So right.
At least...
I thought he was... It seems like Breezepaw might have been winning.
Yeah.
Because he was ahead. serves him right. He almost died. But I'm
Lion
glad
Paw's
he didn't
breathing.
Because I can just see Crowfeather would have been like, I deserve this. My son not born out of love, dead. I deserve this. And everyone, including his current wife, would be like, okay, can we invent therapy? Because I'm so worried about this guy.
Lionpaw's breathing is labored but steady. He thought he was going to go join Star Clan.
I can prevent
Leafpool's
that.
Whiskers. Leafpool's whiskers brushed J-Paw's cheek. They were lucky he was here. J-Paw says he nearly wasn't fast enough. But he made it in time, Leafpool points out, and he was brave to try and get them out on his own. She flicks her tail over his shoulder. Come on, let's get them back to the hollow. J-Paw holds out his paw while Lion Paw licks the poppy seeds from them. He's still trembling, even though he's safely in J-Paw's nest, curled beside Breeze Paw. Lion Paw had managed to stagger back to ThunderClan camp on his own paws. Holly Paw and Squirrel Flight had pressed up on either side of him to take his weight, while Brambleclaw had rushed to fetch Firestar. Nightcloud had carried Breeze Paw like a kit. His hind legs had dragged over the forest floor, but he was too exhausted by shock to complain. Crowfeather had padded beside his mate the whole way, and he offered to help, but Nightcloud kept a hold of her kit as though she might lose him at any moment.
I don't blame her after she did apparently lose two of her other kits.
Yes.
Also, that's so funny, and Crowfeather, I don't know your guys' backstory, but I can see why she's your type, kind of, or whatever it happened. Also, I think it's cute that they have them all in one little spot.
Yeah. Oh,
girl, that's cute.
They're just two little kittens. Both of them have barely started their apprenticeship, you know? I mean, they're big boys, but still.
Yeah, that's... Oh, my gosh. So I'm guessing sports day is not going to happen again because two kids almost got buried alive.
I don't think that would stop them. I mean, you know, it's warrior cats. That's true.
We do gatherings even though fights break out, even though they're not supposed to.
Well, now Nightcloud lay curled around Breeze Paw, warming his quivering body. Her breath fell and rose with his. Try to persuade them to sleep, Leafpool tells J-Paw. She'll go tell the others that they're all right. Firestar, Crowfeather, Heatherpaw, Brambleclaw, and Squirrelflight are waiting anxiously outside. Nightcloud says she'll make sure they sleep, and J-Paw hears the swish of her tail as she swept it rhythmically over the earth-powdered pelts of the two apprentices. So Nightcloud's just like, ah, I can also have this sun. I will warm both suns.
I'll take care of him. And then the Squirrel Flight's like, cool, I was not going to be able to fit in there.
You were so brilliant, Holly Paw says in J-Paw's ear. And it makes his ears hot with embarrassment. Why did she need to treat him like a hero? Crowfeather had acted the same way as they had padded home through the woods. You behaved like a warrior, the Wing Clan warrior had told J-Paw. But J-Paw didn't feel
I'm sure
like
he was
a warrior.
Like thinking for like a full 5 minutes of what to say.
Yeah.
Like Leafpool just goes out and says the awkward thing, like the most awkward thing possible, because she does not think about it. Even though like her anxiety would make you think she would, because we are in front of his wife, ma'am. But apparently, you know, it's been proven that all of her like forethought and like everything goes out the window when Crowfeathers have involved up.
Yeah.
Apparently still. So, but I know for a fact Crowfeather was walking across, like with this kid being like, how do I tell him that was Balder?
What do I say?
Should I mention? No, I shouldn't mention the thing about, like, is this the right time to tell? I haven't even told my own kid. I can't. Like.
Well, J-Paw didn't feel like a warrior. If he'd have been able to run faster, he could have warned Lion Paw. And he thinks if only his blindness hadn't slowed him down.
Oh my god.
It's like, that, buddy.
No one knew. You, even if you weren't blind, you would have the same issue. Because it's a hole in the ground. The two seeing warriors in training fell
into it.
It would have been the same situation. You actually probably found it faster because you didn't have any other distractions. Yeah. You just focused on the smell because you knew that would lead you to it.
Lion Paw and Breeze Paw wouldn't have gotten hurt if he'd been able to get there sooner, J-Paw says.
Oh my god, okay,
but how
fine.
Did he
we'll
find
do
them
lap
at
training,
all?
I guess. Like, fine. Well, all doctors must run a 2-minute mile. They break the literal speed record.
But how did he find them at all? Hollypaw asks, gaze burning his pelt.
Easy, God.
They were chasing
me.
A squirrel.
Next.
It could have run anywhere. J-Paw hesitates. He had a vision, he confesses. He saw what was going to happen. And then when he saw the color of the paws, he realized they weren't his. They were lion paws. Saw? Hollypaw's gasp makes J-Paw jump. He saw lion's paw... He saw lion paw's paws?
That's crazy. One, that you said that sentence, because that... What, girls. errands, please. Lion paw's paws. But also, yeah, that actually didn't click until she said that.
Yeah. Shh. J-Paw wishes he hadn't told her anything. If Starclan thought he was trying to show off, they might take his one chance at sight away. Which,
God,
I don't like that he thinks about it like that, and yeah, I hope he grows.
Jeez, Louise, I'm the kid. Hey, therapist, I think in some crow feather, I know it's going to take a while. But can you spare a couple sessions for this kid, too?
And I think with a lot of this, they tried, it's like, oh, he, you know, you didn't need your sight to do this, J-Paw. But then they also have, like, this narrative in here. And I know it's supposed to be what he's thinking, but also...
But, like, I think the issue is why do that? Like, why, like, it's gross to start. I think I've pointed this out before. It's gross to, like, quote-unquote cure.
Yeah.
Any, I think, disabled person through magic and, like, give it, I don't know. It's weird. I feel like we could have done this a different way.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess it's supposed to be like, oh, you're in a different plane now. It's Starkland. It's a real place, but it's in your mind. And
cool. So My mind doesn't know how to see.
Yeah, it's a lot. Anyways, J-Paw struggles to make his sister understand. Sometimes he can see in dreams and visions, he whispers. It's hard to explain how.
I don't blame you for struggling to
get this. It's just different. J-Paw feels his sister's mind teeming with questions. Then it clears and a purr rumbles in her throat. Starclan must have given him this gift for a reason, she says. Hollypaw knew he'd make a great medicine cat.
That's sweet.
She was like, has all these questions. She's like, actually, it makes sense. He was meant to be a medicine cat. Of course he's having visions.
I love that Hollypaw's so supportive.
She brushes her cheek along his and then leaves through the brambles. J-Paw sighs, glad she hadn't asked any tough questions.
She wanted to.
Was this how it would be from now on? She did hold back. A separate life beyond the understanding of his clanmates, with their every heartbeat depending on him? J-Paw, Brambleclaw calls to him to come down for the lake for the end of the gathering. Firestar's going to be announcing the winners, Heatherpaw adds excitedly. J-Paw curls his lip. The last thing he wants to do is watch the other apprentices celebrate their warrior skills.
You're for real gonna get the hunting award, idiot.
He listens to Lionpaw and Breezepaw. Nightcloud had done as she promised. Both of them were sleeping deeply. J-Paw asks who's going to watch them. And he just wants an excuse to stay in camp. But Leafpool will. Come on, J-Paw, Hollypaw begs. It'll be fun. Firestar says that he should meet some of the other apprentices from the other clans. He hasn't had a chance to yet.
I know they're setting this up. That's why Leafpool is like, oh, I'll stay. And they already gave him a reason he needs to go.
J-Paw follows them down to the lake reluctantly. Heatherpaw and Crowfeather go to join WindClan, and Firestar goes to speak with the other leaders by the lakeshore. Brambleclaw sits to wait on the hillside, and J-Paw sits with him and Squirrelflight and Hollypaw. Brambleclaw says he hasn't seen the clan so relaxed since the Great Journey. Squirrelflight's happiness seems to warm the air around her. Even ShadowClan seems content, she says. Blackstar is staring at everyone, proud as a blackbird. Hollypaw points out,
his apprentices won every contest. So this was a great.
Yeah. Clans of trees, hills, and streams, Firestar calls.
Have we said that before?
No, isn't it cute?
I like it. We should do that.
He thought about that. He's thought about that for the past 3 days.
He's thought about that for the past 30 years. But yeah.
Firestar declares that all their apprentices did well today. They hunt and fought like true warriors. Jubilant mews rose from all the clans. Firestar has talked with Leopardstar, Blackstar, and One Star, and they decided that the contest is a draw. Every clan showed themselves worthy of Star Clan's approval.
Oh my god, my eyes are rolling. I get it, it's cute. Also, can you imagine coming to any other conclusion?
Yeah. That's not fair, Owlpaw snarled. The other Shadow Clan apprentices around him muttered in agreement. Owlpaw says he was the best hunter. Lionpaw and Breezepaw didn't even come back. Hush, a Shadow Clan she-cat silences him. They almost died.
Thank you, Shadow Clan, unnamed Shadow Clan she-cat.
Blackstar tells Owlpaw that it's all right. We all know who really won, even if we have to share the victory. Owlpaw will have the first pick of prey when they get home.
Cool, dude.
Leopardstar lifts her voice. Out of RiverClan's apprentices, Pouncepaw will eat the best fish tonight as a reward for her excellent hunting skills.
See, like, they should have just, like, established that they would pick, like, the best one out of the... Anyways,
Heatherpaw shall have the fattest rabbit, One Star calls. She climbed to the top of the sky oak. Jaypaw's muzzle sinks to his chest. He doesn't want to hear how well every other apprentice has done. And from ThunderClan, Firestar announces, Hollypaw may choose prey first from the pile. She fought excellently for such a new apprentice.
Oh.
Jaypaw feels the pride surge in his sister. And he hates the jealousy that throbs in his paws. But also, there are 6 other apprentices in ThunderClan aside from those 3, and we haven't heard about any of them since this entire chapter.
Get good.
But like, yeah, they're not even mentioned. They haven't said anything. Oh, gee, where are they?
They're not the main characters.
Well done, Jaypaw mumbles. He should get back to see if Leafpool needs any help. Please stay, Hollypaw says. Jaypaw shakes his head and turns away. He's climbing the slope when One Star's voice sounds from below. There's one apprentice who deserves a special mention above all the others today.
Oh, it's from One Star.
Jaypaw keeps walking away.
I was about to be like really Jaypaw. Disappointed in Firestar.
He stops. This young ThunderClan apprentice has earned the gratitude of every cat for his courage and quick thinking today. Jaypaw feels the curious gazes of all the clans ruffle his pelt. He turns self-consciously to face them. Firestar joins in. Jaypaw saved 2 apprentices. They nearly suffocated when an old badger set collapsed beneath them. Jaypaw found them and dug them out. Shocked mews turn to cheers. They're cheering for Jaypaw. Hollypaw's and Squirrelflight's pelts brush against his, and Hollypaw presses her nose to his cheek. Jaypaw's a hero, she says. Could blind cats be heroes, Jaypaw wonders. Well, perhaps. Love yourself. When the cheering dies down, Firestar speaks. This has been a good gathering. It has reminded him of the great journey. And Firestar thinks it marks a successful start to the second new leaf in their new home. A lot has changed, but they are still true warriors. True warriors. Jaypaw remembers how lost he felt in that fight against Shadow Clan, like plunging into freezing water. How desperately he had longed to see. How he knew he would never be able to defend himself properly, let alone his clanmates. StarClan had seen this too, which was why they had decided that he should be a medicine cat.
Okay.
Jaypaw.
I was about to be like, wow, what a Jaypaw cute doesn't... way to end this. He's starting to accept himself, and it just like absolutely the wrong message.
Jaypaw doesn't want to be consoled. He wants things to be different. He turns back towards the forest and heads to camp. It doesn't matter if all the clan leaders called him a hero. He would never be a true warrior.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nightcloud is sleeping beside.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Ableism wasn't built in a day.
We don't, we can't all find self-love.
No.
In a single chapter.
It'd be crazy. It'd actually be hokey and very out of character.
Yeah. Nightcloud is sleeping beside Breezepaw and Lionpaw when he returns. Leafpool is dozing in her nest. Jaypaw listens to the apprentice's breathing, relieved to find it deep and slow. The weight of the day drags at his paws, and he longs to curl up in his own familiar nest. But Lionpaw and Breezepaw need it more. Jaypaw claws together a makeshift nest and curled into it. His claws still have dirt trapped in them, but he's too exhausted to clean them. Instead, he rests his nose on them and closes his eyes. Leafpool says his name gently, leaning over him. "Is everything okay?" he asks anxiously as he begins to scramble out of his nest. Leafpool presses him back down gently. "Don't get up." She just thought he might be hungry, and she drops a mouse at his paws. Jaypaw murmurs a thank you. Leafpool tells him that he did well today. And as she turns away, a strange sensation prickles Jaypaw's pelt. There was something wrong with the way Leafpool had spoken to him. As if she were wary of him. No, he must have imagined it.
Oh, God.
But he was hungry. The hollow is quiet. The cats are still at the gathering. Jaypaw welcomes the peace as he eats and settles back down to sleep.
Girl, Jaypaw blinks open his eyes. That's not the scariest thing he's done.
That was pretty scary, though. He thought he was actually drowning.
I know, but he didn't, like, tell her that.
No,
she should be wary of his power. But, like, that was, like, probably the most normal medicine cat thing he's done.
Right. Jaypaw blinks open his eyes. He hadn't intended to dream. He stands on a dry, sandy bank with the night sky above him. He smells Firestar and finds him among the roots of a tree. Jaypaw doesn't understand what's happening when he finds Firestar talking to an old cat. So this is taking us back to the prologue, as Firestar's quest.
Oh, right.
So we're back in the Sky Clan Hollow with Skywatcher. Sometimes the destiny of one cat is not the destiny of the whole clan, the old cat rasps. Firestar's mind clouds with confusion, and suddenly the old cat speaks clearly. "There will be three, kin of your kin, who hold the power of the stars in their paws."
So
blood pounds in Jaypaw's ears. An image scorches his mind. He sees himself beside Lionpaw and Hollypaw, eyes gleaming and pelts rippling with strength. And with a dreadful, ominous certainty, Jaypaw knows what the old cat is trying to tell Firestar. Jaypaw, Hollypaw, and Lionpaw are the three cats in the prophecy.
We're going to be really buff.
Coldness reaches through Jaypaw's pelt, setting his fur on end. But at the same time, excitement surges through his paws.
Yeah, I thought he'd be hyped about this.
This was his destiny. And Firestar had known all along. But he'd chosen not to reveal it. Why?
I don't think Firestar...
Was he afraid? Was he afraid of having three such powerful cats in his clan? No, Firestar is just not very good at interpreting things. No,
yeah, and he's been too busy learning about horoscopes. And matching.
Jaypaw stifles the purr that rose inside of him.
Yeah, it's actually just he's not. God, Grandpa, hang out with your kids more.
You're still
your
a baby.
More.
You're still babies. Well, Jaypaw knows he mustn't be seen by the other cats. Suddenly, it doesn't matter that he's blind or that he can't take part in the contests.
What?
None of that mattered in the face of this prophecy.
Oh, cool.
A prophecy that promised a greater destiny for him and his littermates than anything a cat had ever dreamed before. Leafpool was right to be wary of him.
Oh my god.
All of his clanmates should be. And not just of Jaypaw, but Lionpaw and Hollypaw as well. One day, we will be so powerful that we shall command even StarClan.
Bro, I'm worried about you. What?
Yeah, so Jaypaw,
that's a crazy conclusion to come to. God,
good
luck. The
power of the stars. How long do you think it's going to take him to tell?
Who just has every reason to become evil, and I think we cannot stop him if he chooses to.
Okay, so Lionpaw and Hollypaw are part of this as well. How long do you think it'll be before he tells them?
It's either going to be immediately or never.
Okay, well, I can tell you that eventually they are told.
Yeah, so he's either going to tell them the next, like, tomorrow, or he's going to tell them, like, in, like, a couple years. He's like, oh, by the way, we have a destiny.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Like, I think that's either or.
Okay, all right.
Like, they're really close, and I think it'd be kind of... If it was either of the other siblings, Lionpaw or Hollypaw, they would immediately tell them. And I think Jaypaw is kind of like that too. However, Jaypaw has trust issues. Or more so, he trusts his siblings, and he obviously loves his siblings. He's just jealous of them. And unfairly, he knows it's unfair.
Yeah.
I think there's just some emotional stuff that makes that will make him hold back. But
okay.
I think like a week ago he would have told them immediately.
Yeah, so now nothing else matters. We're part of a big, powerful prophecy. We don't need character development. We have power.
Oh my god, Aaron's. What? Why are you doing this? Can you do this? Like, the other two need, I guess, something. It's crazy how kind of... We've been kind of, like, told the past couple books... don't hunger for power. Your dad struggled. Oh, don't hunger for power. And then introducing the two out of three, we have not seen enough of Lionpaw to I haven't seen any examples of this, but we have seen these two, both Hollypaw and Jaypaw, been like, power.
They hunger for power.
And it's like,
power.
That's fine. I don't think ambition is necessarily as dangerous as it is written, but, In this universe, in this book, ambition equals.
It might
evil.
Be.
Yeah. I don't agree with that. In the real world, that is absolutely not true. I think it's very possible to be ambitious.
But they seem to characterize it that way, I guess. But it's also kind of always been, like with Brambleclaw, it's ambition in relation to your tyrannical dad.
And let's be fair, in this world, you're fairly limited to your options.
You are.
Like, I guess, like, if, like, you're ambitious in real life, that could mean, like, I want to have 5 kids and no one's going to tell me no. Or, like, you know, I'm going to start a bakery and nobody's going to tell me no. Or, like, it could be, like, thousands of things.
Yeah.
In this world, it's you can be the leader, be the deputy, or just be, like, a really good warrior. Or, you know, be the medicine cat. And that's, like... That's not a lot. If you're someone who, like, wants to climb the corporate ladder, you gotta wait for some people to die.
Right? That's depressing.
And, yeah, it's like, you don't get a promotion here unless, I mean, we haven't seen it yet in this story, but until someone dies. Yeah. Like, we haven't had a retirement yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had our first, and that guy we thought was dead.
Yeah.
So... Weird that that's how we introduced the concept of retirement was Graypaw, Gray Star, Jesus. Graystripe didn't die. So, I guess we have to let deputies do this now. Or else. Yeah. So, like that, I mean, it happened in the past, from past, quote unquote.
It happened in the future past.
Yeah.
In
so,
the past future? Yeah.
That is, I wasn't expecting this book to end with him getting the prophecy. I mean, I guess I could see this book ending with him getting the prophecy, but I didn't think his reaction would be, ah, cool. I don't have to do my homework no more. I'm about to be a god. And it's like, I'm sure StarClan was like, all right, he took that last vision really well. I think he's ready. And they gave him this one and we're like, oh, God, no.
Oops. Maybe we should have waited till he was a little older.
And it's like, I don't remember who he spied on, but the other clans were like, yeah, did we not mention that he's been encroaching on other people's dreams? Like, what?
But also,
why did we ask him to watch him? It's just like, I've been trying.
But also, you know, he might not be receiving this vision from StarClan, because remember, Firestar's been having this same exact dream every single moon. So.
Oh, he accidentally slipped into Grandpa's dream.
Maybe he's just accidentally eavesdropping on Grandpapa's dream.
On accident. He did say he didn't mean to fall asleep.
He didn't mean to dream. Usually he does it on purpose.
See, it makes him even more dangerous, where it's like, okay, you actually can't control this. You don't realize that you can't control it. Oh, God, this is crazy.
And thus concludes the site. Next episode, we will start Warrior Cats, The Power of Three, Dark River.
Oh, okay. Not the name I was expecting. I thought we were going to be like, you know, touch, sound.
We're
going to go through all of the sensations or all the senses.
Dark River. There's no rhyme or reason to these. I know, we had like times of day for the last one.
Yeah, but what? We'll guys, we had eventually. Like such a nice, like, yeah, the times of day were out of order, but like.
It was kind of fun, but no, we're throwing that out the window.
Guys, come on.
We'll get back to it. Don't worry, we'll get back to it.
Why did we stop? Okay, anyway. Folks. Mm-hmm. If you want to pick a theme and say, never mind, I'm changing it. Cool. Follow us on social media. We are WCWITcast on Twitter and Instagram. Also, I had this thought. If it's almost been a year since you rebranded something and people in like the actual news media still have to say X, formerly known as Twitter, do you think your rebrand failed? Anyway.
Well, it also is still, if you go to the site, it still says www.twitter.com.
For the longest time, sharing on Spotify, it was like, do you want to share this on Twitter? But then they finally updated it. Anyway.
Anyway.
We won't rebrand, probably. But if you want to email us, then you can do that at wcwitcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us fiscally, monetarily, with those monies, then we do have a Ko-fi and our coffee. It is linked in the episode description. But the best way to help out this podcast is to share it with a friend and say, this has a sports day and a child being corrupted by power.
Yay! Because I'm Emberheart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this has been Warrior Cats.
What is that? Thank you.